Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Beyond the Matrix, the show that asks you to get outside of the box of convention and look beyond to all that is possible. And we're going to be doing that tonight with a fabulous guest, Connie Kellogg, who has written a wonderful book that I'm reading called The Leap. Before I introduce her, I would like to remind you that this is Patricia Corey, author of The Syrian Revelations. And if you haven't read them, please come to my website, www.syrianrevelations.net, and find out more about what's going on in the extra communication zone. Okay, Connie, can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
I can hear you very well, and so can our guests. But thank you very much for being on. I'm introducing to you Connie Kellogg. She's the author of The Leap, a wonderful book. I've had you come on, Connie, because I think it's so important to have voices of very powerful, positive messages for the world at a time when people are really going through the pull of the polar forces.
Yeah.
And like me, I see that you're bringing a positive message for a difficult time. So I want to start by thanking you for being here, thanking you for doing all that you do, and as an author and also as a publisher. Tell us about that.
Which would you like me to speak, about the author or the publisher?
Well, let's start with the publisher. I love the story that you tell about how Eckhart Tolle came to you. Would you like to share that with my audience, please?
How you got
started publishing?
Yes. We get many kind of inquiries about how Eckhart and I connected. The story is really quite remarkable on one level, but really not on another. I don't think there's any doubt in my mind, Patricia, that both Eckhart and I agreed somewhere, sometime, that we would both show up in this incarnation and join in oneness in this work that we're doing. And the bottom line, it's to really be vehicles through which the new consciousness can express on the planet and be there to assist in whatever way we can, you know, for that to prevail, the new consciousness to prevail. And the various forms of our work may be different, i.e. myself, publisher, Eckhart, author, now myself, author as well. But the purpose of our work is just one and the same. So I was happily ensconced in my second career at the time when I met Eckhart, and that was a management consultant. And we were just brought together synchronistically because he had just arrived in Vancouver, British Columbia, at the same time that I was really seeking out to have a spiritual teacher come to our offices in downtown Vancouver once a week and lead us in satsang or sacred sitting. So a friend of mine connected the two of us. We met, we sat in this small satsang group for several months. Over that time, Eckhart demonstrated very quickly to me that he was a most powerful and timely teacher for the planet. And when I heard he was writing a book, I was clapping my hands inside, never thought that I would be publishing it. But when he asked me to publish his book, I hesitated a bit, ego kicked in for a few minutes, and then it became so evident that yes, of course, this is definitely a big part of the work that I contracted to do at a soul level this lifetime. So that's how it all began, and we put out The Power of Now, which from day one was received by conscious people and supported. And, you know, the story is wonderful. First time author, first time publisher, no marketing budget.
Yeah, that's what I have to interrupt you and say that you had not published anything before you published that book?
No. I actually took on the agreement to publish his book while I was still practicing in my management consulting practice. I took this on as a sideline, as an avocation, as some hard work.
Talk about a great first start.
Talk about starting at the top. I think that's wonderful.
You know what? That I have found that is the best place to start.
That's so true.
And now it's all Oprah having endorsed, you know, so beautifully the power of now, and then just more recently a new earth in a way that none of us, you know, could have possibly have expected. That's starting at the top as well.
I think we should drink to that.
I already have.
I'm sure you did. I'm sure you did. So, then what prompted you to go ahead and write your own book?
Well, after Eckhart wrote A New Earth, I don't know. I was waiting for a manuscript to come in that would kind of be a little more concrete, specific, more helpful, more directional in terms of helping people determine how they were going to live this life purpose of bringing consciousness to the planet through their own presence, through their own actions, through their own belief systems, through their own extension of the love essence that they are. I was waiting for this manuscript to show up. I knew it was a key piece for our Namaste publications. And when it didn't, some inspiration just started, and I just started taking notes. And basically, the leap was written in a stop-start situation twice, but in a very short period of time. It was just, I just put it down on paper and knew that I had to step out and put it out because no one gave me the manuscript.
Well, I'm sure this is going to titillate a lot of people who are thinking, I can send you a manuscript. Do you take manuscripts from potential authors?
We do. Namaste Publishing has always published first-time authors. Usually the big publishing houses will not do that. They are too risk-averse. So they, you know, look for publishers that have a good track record, or they'll try and pick up the license of a book that is already doing well, or they will publish somebody who is controversial or high profile or something. So Namaste does stand out from a lot of publishing houses in that we are open to publishing first-time authors, and I never seek any books to publish. They just come to me, and I have a knowing as to whether or not this particular book is part of my soul contract work for this lifetime, and I should be putting it out. Right now, we have our full roster of books to publish for the next 2 years, so we're not accepting additional manuscripts for publishing consideration. But what we have recently done, because we get so many wonderful manuscripts, some of them fall outside of our genres or our particular mission and focus in publishing, but they're wonderful, and they should be out there. So a recent child of Namaste Publishing is Namaste Literary Agency. So we are accepting manuscripts to agent to other publishers to put out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so can I give people the contact for that?
Well, they could go to our website, and you will see on the front page. Yes, www.namastepublishing.com. And if you go to the home page, there is a place where you can click on for submissions to a Namaste Literary Agency. And those will go to... Pardon?
Go ahead. Go ahead. We have a bit of a delay here in our voice. That's why we keep overlapping.
Oh,
go ahead.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
So they go to the website, and on the home page, they'll just be able to click in and get the information of what the guidelines are for submitting to our agency. And so if...
Okay, great.
Yeah, so our door is still open even though it's halfway closed because we're not taking on further publications for a while.
But it's wonderful that you see beauty in some of the information that you are not able to publish and are still available to assist people to get their word out. So
yeah.
Those of you who are listening, this is an opportunity. I know a lot of you have written to me talking about the book that you're writing or have written, and so this is an opportunity to take a next step. So thank you for that. Now let's get back on to your book. I was very interested in basically your theme that what we're talking about with LEAP is leaping out of delusion into reality. And I couldn't agree with you more. As we see, people are really either going to crack here or take a giant leap. And we do
see we're going to be forced. We're if we don't leap voluntarily, we're going to be forced to leap.
Yeah. Well, so, as you say, the Hopis say, we are the ones that we have been waiting for. Mm-hmm. That is a very, very powerful quote. And indeed, now here we are. We came in to do this, and here we are. And I think one of the most empowering messages for people is to remember when they're feeling hopeless or frightened that they chose to do this.
Oh, yes.
And here
they are. So blessed to be alive and in the body on planet Earth at this time. We are the blessed generation. We are the chosen generation. We can choose to see this and accept it and live it, or we can ignore it. Because the evolution of our species is in potential. It's not predetermined. So where my optimism comes in is that if we choose to step up and consciously evolve, meaning to a higher order of love and oneness, we can do it. There's no question about that. But are we going to do it? Are a sufficient number of us going to do it? I heard Marion Williamson the other day saying that all it's going to take is 11%. You know, for that collective conscious mass to shift things on the planet. So are 11% of us ready to step up? I don't know. If we do, we're going to do it. So again,
and if we don't, what do you think will happen?
I don't know. I can't predict. What I do know is that evolution began 14 billion years ago with the Big Bang. And that the design out of which the Big Bang came was perfect. It was supremely intelligent. It was divine. Out of no thing came the universe. So this divine, supreme intelligence, which some of us may call God, whatever you want to label this supreme divine intelligence as, is still in operation today. It's still, if mankind as we know it does not survive, the evolutionary impulse is continuing and it will go to a higher order because that is the nature of evolution. And we're not going to stop 14 billion years of evolution right now. We're just not. We're either going to be part of where evolution wants to go or we're going to not make it. But what we do, and here's again where my positive attitude comes in, no matter what happens to us as a species, Patricia, what will survive is the level of consciousness we came to as individuals and collectively as individuals. That will go on and seed the new order. Whether or not humankind as we know it will be part of that new order, who knows? But the work we're doing is invaluable, and it will survive.
Well, I would like to suggest also that when you say whether we're going to make it or not, we have to define what making it means or what not making it means. In my experience, I believe that this is quite an illusion, this third dimensional reality that we're in, as you referred to when you say you're leaping out of delusion.
Mm-hmm.
And that we are evolving toward another level of consciousness where we are much less physical, where the planet itself is much less physical.
I agree. I hear you on that, and intuitively I feel yes, we're moving away from dense materiality to a higher vibrational experience of our beingness. What that will look like, I don't know. I don't want to get into predictions because that's coming from mind.
Yeah, no,
the mind
I'm
is always conditioned and limited. Yeah. So let's go back. You said, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you said about what does making it look like. I guess making it, there's no way we can't make it. and because evolution is going to continue, and evolution always goes to a higher order of complexity and consciousness. So whether we're going to make it or not will depend on whether we survive in our human identity. That means, can it bring in consciousness while still in the body? I guess that's what it means, and still experience life in the body from a consciousness perspective.
Well, I think that no matter how grave the global situation is, no matter how dangerous a Holocaust type of environment through war, whatever weaponry would be, global shifting, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot annihilate life on this planet, like you're saying. Life always breaks through the crack of the cement. There is always life is the nature of reality.
Exactly. So
what
we can go. Go ahead.
We're having trouble here. I think that what's important also at this time is that we are learning more and more all of the conditions on so many other planets where life they're now saying could quote-unquote exist.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
We know
it exists. We know that the realm of angels and unseen helpers exists.
I'm talking about physical beings on other planets that have environments.
Oh, in physical bodies.
Terrible.
Okay.
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely.
Well, that's interesting. I know that, as I absolutely agree with you, that life will go on one way or the other. Look at our evolutionary history. Look what must have happened on the planet to force many fish to land. Imagine the crisis that sea life must have experienced to force them onto land and to have to adapt to land. At one time in our evolution, oxygen was a poisonous gas. It was,
right.
You know, poisonous. So there was no greenery. Cells needed to protect themselves from oxygen. But through that threat came photosynthesis, a mutation, and we got the chlorophyll molecule, which gave rise to the photosynthesis, which uses oxygen for life-giving, not life-threatening purposes. Fantastic. So we don't know what's going to happen. We know that if there is going to be evolution, there will be some transmutation probably, but it will be a shift to a higher order. And all we can do now is be open to being part of that and to say, bring it on.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I think that one of the very possible realities, because it's always only a possible reality, is that we are very close to having contact from intelligent beings from other planets.
I think
this is definitely going to be a cataclysmic in a positive sense, so that's probably not the right word, just an incredible factor in instant higher consciousness on this planet. We discussed this on my last week's show, because you imagine that despite all the horror movies, we are faced as a global population one day very soon where we have ships overhead and we have contact to the human race, that these are beings who are coming in peace.
And I'm saying, bring on our galactic brothers. I'd love to meet them.
Well, I think you're going to have the opportunity, because I think that's one of the reasons we're here. And last week I had on Charles Green, who has organized a very serious committee of welcome committee for extraterrestrial life, and they're petitioning the governments to have standards set so that this is not only in the hands of the governments. So it's exciting anyway. That's just another little
I'm looking
diversion.
Forward to that. I see that as a very, not only a possibility, a likelihood in our time that our galactic brothers will be making contact with us. And I think it's wonderful. I think the crop circles are, you know, kind of ways in which they're communicating through the cosmic language of sacred geometry to us. I don't know if we can discern the meanings of those crop circles, but I think at a psychic level, we are picking things up. They are getting through to us. They are preparing us for their arrival. And I just feel very warm and opening, wanting to embrace them.
Well, what better way to communicate love and the universal intelligence than through fantastic geometry? It's the universal language.
It is universal language. It is, and you know, I would like to. If you have you heard of Yvonne Rados?
Yes.
Okay, so you know about sacred geometry then, because
he's
here for a very special purpose, and that is to anchor the vibrational of the cosmic language and the planet.
Yes, another master of sacred geometry is Jonathan Quinton, who will be with me in England this summer at the crop circles. I'm going to be putting that information out to you at the end of the show. So,
well, isn't that interesting how all of this has come full circle in this short little period of time on the air together, Patricia?
Yeah, even Radha's came on a trip to Egypt with me, in fact.
Unbelievable.
This is
the norm. This is the norm. This is how things are happening. Just like that. Easily, effortlessly. We're all being connected.
Yeah. All right, so let's go back to some of the principles of the book. In the book you say that stillness is the foundation for the leap, and I would like you to elaborate what you mean by stillness and why this is so an essential part of the transition.
That's a really good question, and it's absolutely cornerstone to the leap itself. Well, just as I said, you know, the Big Bang, all of this stuff, all of matter, the universe as we know it in its physicality came out of no thing. Well, so too, that vastness is our essential being. That field of infinite potentiality is within all of us. And the way to access that and come into an awareness of that is through the practice of stillness. I guess the closest thing we could get to a description of our essential nature is our essential nature is stillness. And so to sit and to intentionally go into the body and feel the inner energy body, the vibrant life within, the animating force, is the closest, I think, we can come while still in the body to this felt perception, this felt awareness of who we truly are, which is basically fathomless, just like the universe. What is out, so within. We have 75 trillion cells in our body. As many stars as are out there, we have cells in our body. Each cell is a mini-universe onto itself. Is that not phenomenal? One cell changes, it changes every other cell in the body. We're talking 75 trillion cells. That's how connected we are in our oneness. That is how great we are. So in order to take the leap, if you come from an awareness of who you truly are, if you're anchored within your being, which you cannot be unless you come from a state of inner stillness, then anything you do in the world, anything you say in the world will be positive. Because you will be coming from, you will be speaking from your essential nature, which is divine love. So it's our great insurance policy. It's be still and do what thou wilt. Somebody said, love and do what you will. The same thing. So when we wonder what we should be doing, you know, what's our next step? Should I have done this? How am I going to say that? Go into stillness. Stillness will dictate the most positive, loving response you can make, the most positive, loving action you can take, the most conscious person you can be in the world today. So it's a practice. If it has to be intentional, because most of us are so into our mind, most of us are so outer driven, that we are not aware of what we hold within us. The glory of our inner knower, the glory of our inner healer, the glory of our inner grower, everything is within. So we need to go within and get in touch with that in order to create a different outpicturing, basically a new earth, a new world, a new order.
Yeah, I think also that I like the way you close that, because I do believe that it's really time now for us to get out of the inner focus, the self-focus, shall I say.
I agree, Patricia. I absolutely agree. That's why
because
in the book...
It seems that we've spent so many years in this transition into awareness of healing ourselves and focusing on our own talents and our own gifts. And at this moment, it's so very important to get beyond that and start
understanding
what you've come to do to serve the greater good, to serve the planet.
And, you know, there's something so momentous going on right now. That we're being pulled out of our little dramas, our stories, into the larger concern for the story of humanity that is evolving. So the import of our little personal dramas are giving way to the greater import of the collective human story that's unfolding. I totally agree with you. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I think it's amazing. And it's the very positive aspect of the chaos that we're getting through now, because people are starting to realize, hey, this is just not about me. The whole planet could go down. And that is really what it's going to take.
That is so...
It's going
to take. And Papa Yelder said, too, at this time on the planet, take nothing personally, least of all yourself. Because it's not about you. It's about oneness. It's about all of us. And so to focus on, you know, what we can contribute to that oneness, to the evolution of consciousness. And it's not even about Earth. We're talking about the evolution of consciousness. And if every cell in our body affects every other cell, certainly every planet is affecting everything else in the cosmos as well. So,
and every level, let's say, also.
Yes.
Every dimensional level as well, because
yes.
I think that, you know, more and more we're becoming aware of the many levels of consciousness.
Yes.
And how we interact on those levels, too. I'm just
yes.
going to stop for a moment and remind you that I'm talking to Connie Kellogg. Her wonderful book is The Leap, and you can find out about that book by going to www.namastepublishing.com. So I just want to make sure people know where they can get it, because I'm sure there are people...
Or they can get it and probably any bookstore or Amazon.com. They don't have to just go to our website. It should be available almost anywhere. Some people, it's easier just to go to Amazon.
Okay. So it's available. You don't have to hunt the website. All right, back to a question that I have for you, which I loved. You talk about not only individuals but corporations and political bodies taking time for this stillness, stillness breaks. Wouldn't it be wonderful if more of this could be taking place in the boardroom environment, so that people could bring this wisdom and peace into the working environment, which is getting more and more difficult now?
It is.
How do you think that this could actually be accomplished? Do you have any idea of how to...
Yes. It's through enlightened leadership. It's through the leaders within an organization being conscious and wanting to bring consciousness into their organizations and having the position, the profile, the authority to allow that to come in and to encourage their employees, make practical a time available during the day for stillness breaks. All creativity comes out of there. We burst with energy after we've been sitting in stillness for 15 or 20 minutes. It's such a wonderful thing. And so I don't want companies to make a decision to become conscious corporations to increase their bottom line. I want them to choose to become conscious corporations because that is what their purpose is. they are the head of a corporation, they have this position of influence, they can use it well to help bring in support and anchor on the planet. That's why I want them to do it. Will they be beneficiaries? Yes, of course they will. Will their bottom line go up? Yes, but that's not the motivation. It should never be the motivation. So you need enlightened people in positions of leadership within organizations, within government, within institutions to really lead the way. And I'll tell you, as a management consultant, I saw what one or two individuals within a corporation could do to change the culture and the practices.
That's encouraging because here, you know that I live in Italy, and it's just not the American approach to the work environment.
Mm-hmm.
People are demoralized because there's no, let's say, I don't know, it's not really the corporate world here in Italy, which is a country that has a quite powerful tourism base for the economy.
Yes.
And agriculture and politics, big money in politics. But here we find so many people are very resigned that the work environment is never going to be anything worth anything more than the paycheck, and there's a lot
mm-hmm.
of frustration here. And
mm-hmm.
since I'm from San Francisco, which is anything can happen land,
mm-hmm.
it's been hard to make this leap, but I've managed to do it because Spirit, for some reason, decided I needed to be here.
It's really, really sad, isn't it, Patricia, that people can't make a living and make a life at the same time. They've had to separate those two. I go to work, I need the income, I need to earn a living so that I can go and have my life. That's very
yeah.
sad. And so,
yeah,
you know, again, go ahead, Patricia.
I was going to say, especially when you consider how many hours of your lifetime are spent working,
mm-hmm.
to think that you don't enjoy it or like so many
mm-hmm.
people, you hate it, is this
mm-hmm.
is really something that needs to be addressed. And hopefully, I don't know what this. There's no global solution to this question because in so many
there
countries,
isn't.
People are thrilled to have work.
I know, but I know of people who are conscious, and then they have to go to work, and they go into these environments that are unconscious, toxic, bordering on insane, and they have to be present, you know, for 8 hours a day there. It's very, very difficult. The only advice, you know, I have for people like that is to acknowledge that it is difficult and to seek out other friends who are conscious as well. And it's terrible when you have to separate yourself like that, make a living from making your real life. I don't know how it's going to happen, but, you know, we don't know. These things are just going to happen as long as we hold
well,
to the
intent. Well, then again, when we talk about seeking enlightenment, we do sort of have a testing ground in these environments. It's like, okay, you've got the rap. Now, can you apply it to your life
mm-hmm.
and make it change for the others as well? Because in our groups of spiritual study and journeying together, whatever, it's much easier to share these higher ideals and sensation and experience. But when we have to bring it out to the, like you said, the toxic environment, we should be
mm-hmm.
able, if we are leaders, we should be able to affect change in these environments too.
That's right. And that's why the practice of stillness is so important. So that when you're out in the world doing whatever you are doing, regardless of whether you are with conscious peers or in a very hostile, unconscious environment, when you're anchored in stillness, you will still be bringing presence wherever you are. And that's, you know, the thing to remind yourself, that you are doing the work just by being that beacon of presence wherever you are, regardless of the negativity surrounding you. You really need it. You're really needed.
Yeah. So can you give us a sort of a an essential concept of what you mean in this in the book when you really talk about the leap. Specifically, how does one go about making the leap according to your book? How does one go about making the leap to this higher level of consciousness and functioning in the world? What is the central theme here?
Well, to leap, you have to leave something that is known comfortable. And that means conditioned. We've been conditioned through our past experiences to see that this is the safe way to live. This is the safe place to be. I need to stay here. If I move, if I venture out too far, I won't be safe. And that, of course, is all egoic thinking. The ego is that false sense of self, based on this little me that has to defend and protect itself against others in order to survive. And that came in evolutionarily, speaking, when Homo sapiens moved to Homo sapiens sapiens, which was when the frontal lobe of our brain developed another 17%. What that enabled the species to do was to gain self-reflective consciousness. So that's when the I was born, the I, the ego, the me, the separate me. And because of where we were in terms of evolution on the planet, and it was very much physical survival, that I was born in a field of fear, and it picked up fear, and it believed, you know, that it had to hold on to fear in order for that little self and for kin and clan to survive against the others out there. Well, that served for a time, just like survival of the fittest served for a time. And now conscious evolution should be taking over. But we now, that doesn't work for us anymore, right and wrong. The polarities, you opened up the program talking about, you know, how these polarities are intensifying and the tension between them being felt increasingly every day. So the leap is to realize that we don't need to come from fear anymore. We don't need to come from separation thinking anymore. As a matter of fact, not only do we not need them, they are working against us. So we need to come from trust in the benign nature of the universe. We need to come from unity thinking, from thinking of oneness. You know, I say in the book, you know, other interest is self-interest because we're all one. On a political level, international interest or global interest is national interest because we're all one. Now, this is showing beautifully today. No one country can do something without it affecting every other country. Look at the financial recession in the United States today and how that is impacting the world as a whole.
Yes.
We can't pretend that we're isolated anymore. Quantum physics, without a doubt, has proven we're all one. We're part of this seamless tapestry. So we've just got to get with it. It just hasn't sunk in yet. And part of the leap is we've got to leave these old conditioned, fear-based, egoic-driven patterns and behaviors and take on a whole new way of being in the world, which is really where we need to evolve to. So it may feel uncomfortable, it may feel unknown, it may feel risky, but it has to be done if we're going to land in a consciousness that is more love-based, more inclusive, more evolutionary.
Well, yeah, I think we have to remember also that the powers that rule this planet have used fear and our sense of unsafeness, which of course is not a real
mm-hmm.
word,
mm-hmm.
To keep us in separation, because we
Absolutely.
Are easier to rule and
divide
to,
and conquer.
Exactly,
it's and a great
to,
military strategy.
Yeah, it worked for the Romans, right?
Exactly.
I
well,
think that it's
you
so
know my
important.
Thinking here, Patricia. the consciousness is going to win out. And I see such exciting evidence every day about that. And consciousness is going to have its way. Whether it's going to be easy on us or not, or easy on some of us and not others, I don't know. It depends on if we are in alignment with the new consciousness that is pressing to emerge on the planet right now. I know that the old structures, and we don't know how, the religious institutions that foster separation, the political institutions that foster separation and conflict, financial institutions, that are very motivated by self-interest and all of that, they have to give way. They have to give way to the new consciousness. How are they going to give way? I don't know. I know that we cannot fight them. We do not want to take on the old order. That's the old paradigm. That's ego-based thinking. What we have to do is just step up our light, step up our practice of presence and being conscious flames in the world, and we will replace the evolution of consciousness. We're going to replace. The new order is going to replace the old. It's not going to come through fighting.
Can I interject something here? I think it's important to remember that it's not what we're going to do. It's what we are doing. Because we tend to look to the leap or the transition or the shift or whatever we want to call it as something very in the future. And actually, we are in it. We are evolving moment by moment.
We are the evolution of consciousness. We are. I agree. And that's why in the leap I say, be the truth.
I think it's very empowering to people when they recognize the fact that, because so many people write to me and say, you know, how do you foresee this? What's going to happen? And my answer is always, it's happening. You are happening.
Exactly. It is. You are the evolution of consciousness. You are.
And you are affecting it every minute. Even your willingness to get out of your fear, to read a book, to talk to others, this is all part of the transition. It's now just as much as it's in the future, if there's any discernment between the two states anyway, of future and now.
And that's why in the leap
I to remind people this, that
exactly.
We are not talking about some event that's going to plink happen in 2012. Right, because there's a lot of projection into that.
It's action, and it's now, and it is happening. And that's why I say God is not, and love are not states of being. They are action words. They are action words. The creative impulse is just that, ever creative, ever action-oriented in every single now moment. And that's why it's to be, and that's why I say, you know, in order to be more conscious, we have to take action and go to a higher level of order of our behaviors and even our spiritual practices. And that's why the last third of the book is devoted to spiritual practices, because it's requiring us being, and being means action.
I think it's also important to remember to be in your highest ethics.
Absolutely.
Because ethics is something that we, at this moment on the planet, seems to have slipped out of priority status as we pursue all these things that we run after. And even in the spirit world, we have a lot of people who are
mm-hmm.
not really in ethics.
Mm-hmm.
And I send that message out to whoever can hear it, to remember
mm-hmm.
that even though we all have our spiritual work, we have our healing centers, whatever, that never should we forget the highest intention, the highest good of all, and the highest ethics possible as we proceed in our respective
yes.
jobs, because I do believe we all came in with an assignment.
Truly. Truly. And bottom line, the assignment is for all of us to become more conscious, loving human beings in whichever way we do
right.
that in our lifetime. Yeah. But integrity is crazy glued to consciousness. You can't have one without the other. Absolutely. It must be an integrity.
Yeah, well, sometimes you can be just a little bit on the border of that. And when people look at the way they're operating and ask themselves, am I in the highest ethics? Some really interesting information and self-teaching comes out. I think it's very important to remind people about ethics.
Yeah, then all they have to do is ask that question, and their inner knower will let them know immediately.
Exactly. Especially mm-hmm. when they're alone with themselves in those moments mm-hmm. that you call stillness. Yeah?
Yes.
Okay, let's, again, I wanted to go back to the book, and I did have a question for you that popped in and out of my mind, so I hope it will float back in while we're talking.
If it was an important one, it'll come back. If not,
it'll come back.
It was meant to be, it'll come back.
I think it's important to talk about the section where you have the specific spiritual practices, and I think it's important because having really clear guidelines is very helpful for so many people that say, I don't know where to start, I don't know how to still my mind, I don't know how to meditate. So could you talk to the aspect of the book, the second part of the book, that helps people to make the leap and how important this is?
Well, I just have the book in front of me now, and I'm just checking on how many. 36 spiritual practices at the back of the book. And really, each practice supports something that I've said in the previous text part. And so it's not, I don't want people to believe what I say. This book isn't about belief. It's about truth, and I want people to put that to the test. And how can you put truth to the test? By putting it to the test, by doing something and seeing if your life does not become more positive, if your life does not become more beautiful, if you do not become a more healthy, loving, joyous, conscious being. So the practices are there to say, okay, if you want to take the leap, here are some specific things that you can do to put it to the test and see if the leap is really occurring in your life. And if you set aside, you know, I don't know what part of your day, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever, to do one of these practices and work through them. The test is, has your life changed? Are you a more joyful, loving human being? And if you aren't, then I failed you in the book. I know that these practices grew right out of my own spiritual practice, and I can attest to, you know, how powerful they were for me. And my spiritual practices are continuing to change. As a matter of fact, I started writing the next book, and stopped because the inspiration stopped, so whether or not I finish that, who knows, only life does. But the spiritual practices are evolving, too, as my consciousness is evolving. So I just found that these practices, at the time I wrote the book, were things that really, really assisted me to live the leap joyfully and to experience the evidence of that in my life. And I'm just, it's a sharing. It's an offering. Try these out. Have you tried that? Have you tried to spend one whole day extending your light? When you greet people. Go ahead.
There are so many beautiful wisdom moments in the book, and one of them that I really love and I try to share with people too is to be the thing that you want others to be. You want to see in others. Or I like to use a metaphor of be a lighthouse
mm-hmm.
for others.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of your own way. And I think that set noble intentions, another simple but powerful message. And
mm-hmm.
definitely setting a daily intention is so important because
mm-hmm.
we just go. We're in the mm-hmm. car, get the kids to school, got to go to the office, go, coffee, all of this craziness. Without ever having set an intention of what you want to achieve for the highest good in that day.
You know, here we are. We are these amazing creative beings. We're fractals of the one creator. and we don't even use our power. And how do we create through attention, then intention? That's where it starts. And we're not making use of this. We're not making use
of it. We seem to never, so often we just don't get our mind together enough dealing with the hectic life that most of us live to say, all right.
I agree. But Patricia, that's where the discipline comes in. It's how much do you really want something? And that evidence to the degree of you're really wanting something to be is what you do, what action you take. So if you want to live a new reality, you need to exercise some discipline and make room to create that in your life. We're never, ever too busy to give the priority to inner stillness. We are never too busy. I have to remind myself about that all the time still, Patricia. In the last week or so, I got out of balance, and boy, do I pay for it. So it's like discipline, 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 in having to step up the time that I'm spending on spiritual practice versus tending to the ever-increasing but wonderful, you know, workload here. It's a choice. It's a choice. And,
it's a choice, indeed it is.
Yeah, it's a choice. It's up to you.
Yeah, I'll drink to that as well. We are free will beings in a free will zone of the universe, even though the illusion can make us believe that we're slaves to a system. We are not. We choose every moment of our lives, and we are free, and never, never forget it, no matter how it plays out externally. Colleen, would you believe it or not, but Constance, we are almost out of time, and I would like to ask you if you could leave, if you could sum up your message for the listeners that are here and for humankind in the big picture, what would it be?
Well, I think it would be that there is a better way, and that you are absolutely powerful in creating that better way for your self as part of the whole and as a contributor to the well-being of the collective. Just a reminder of the inestimable worth of each and every one of us, because we carry within us the one divine light. And we've fallen away from seeing that in ourselves. And if we don't see it in ourselves, we're not going to be able to see it in others. And we'll not be able to see the reality of light. And we'll live then still in the illusion of darkness, which is not who we are. So I guess that's a mouthful.
That's a wonderful way to close this wonderful hour we've spent together. This book is called The Leap. The author is Constance. I called her Connie because I feel like I know her. Connie Kellogg. You're going to want to read it. It's a beautiful, positive approach to being empowered, choosing to live your life in light and in love, and filling yourself with hope rather than dread and fear. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Okay. Thank you, Patricia.
Send me your authors that you think might be in sync with my program, and I will interview them as well and bring more of your work to my audience.
Thank you very much. And to you and to all your listeners, I'd like to say namaste.
Namaste.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right, everybody, we're just about to sign out. Please, I did refer to the crop circles a little bit earlier. I have now confirmed that I am bringing a group. We're going to be doing a workshop with me and with the master sacred geometrist, Jonathan Quinton, who is really amazing. I'm just delighted to bring him into my work. So he'll be with me for a two-day workshop on DNA activation and cellular memory and healing at the DNA level. It's going to be fantastic. We'll go to the crop circles. We'll go to all the sacred sites. We'll go to Tintagel, Cornwall, It's going to be an amazing trip. So if you'd like to know about that, please contact me at patcorey@tiscali.it, and I'll fill you in. And it will be up on my site, should be up by tomorrow. So hang in there and get the information. It's going to be a small group, so please try to get in on that as quickly as you can. And Peru in September, also on my site. Peru is going to be a high altar in September. We will be there at the equinox. So you can find out about that trip as well. There will be many more sacred journeys, because I do believe that now is the time for us to go to the sacred sites of this planet, and not only to receive there, but also to bring our light and our love into those energy vortices. So also, because it's getting harder and harder to travel on this planet, it's time to do it now. And with that thought, I'm going to leave you. Thank you for listening in. I'll see you next. I won't see you. I'll speak to you next Sunday for Beyond the Matrix. Thank you for listening in. Tell your friends. We want more and more people to be able to have access to some of the amazing gifts that I'm bringing in on the show. Thank you. Good night, everyone.